Hi everybody, this is Terry Laundry. We're doing our T3 observations for the end of February, February 28th, 2010. And in this segment, we're not doing any charts or anything. I'm sort of answering questions and elaborating on previous things, some of which deal with the latest forecast at the T3 Foundation, which I do every day. I do the next day after for the daily charts. And we'll talk about some general things first, and then in the first segment, and then in the second segment, I'll go through the gold, which was discussed last week, and sort of bring up to date on that. I receive lots of emails, and some of them are perennially deal with the same projects, the same topics, and the most common one is that they can't hear the audio, and we delved into that with the fact that you just have to restart your computer because the buffers are filled up and so forth, so we get rid of that question. The second, the most common sets of questions that I don't particularly want to respond to, waste my time on, are why don't we exclude income stocks from the advanced decline line? And the other question is alternate ADT constructions, because everybody thinks that they can draw T's and make them come out right. And it's a very complex process. There are, if you look at long periods of history, you develop rules, and the rules tell you. And the biggest problem we have is that people want, every time the market breaks up, they want to draw a new kind of T, because they think that every time the market pops up, it's a new T. But what it is it's an old T that's in the theory is that you're stuck with the old T, and the old T tends to be erratic for a while, and you have to sort of live with its little erratic nature, and then it will pull you out into its top date. The best example of that is that we started a T back in from a low in the general October period here, but it was the 1st of November low, went up into a new high as we came into the new year. It then relapsed back to its November 1 of 08 low, I mean of 09 low. And then it's now currently coming back up. And then the question is, do you think you can make a new high by the time we get to early May? And the answer is, of course, because there's a whole bunch of T's, the advanced decline T's, that get started off in kind of a ragged fashion. And that's my computer talking. It's 10 o'clock. And so when you start to pull out here, somebody wants to say, is this a new T that's going to go to August or something like that? Well, we have two tops. Dates. One of them is about a week into May, and the other one is at the end of August. It's a product of the double bottom that we saw in late 08 or early March 09, and that symmetry shows up in the top patterns. But you get confused if you keep trying to go that route. What you have to do is you have to be sure that you made a T, and then you have to be sure that you understand that the T can be ragged for a while, but it will eventually come back out. If you look at the history of the advanced decline T's from 66 to the present, you can say that they all came out correctly, okay? But there's no guarantee on that one, because something could go wrong. There's no complete logical explanation for the time symmetry. However, you can show that they haven't, they've been reliable through history. So what's going to happen is that when we get to early March, I would expect that we have gone through the sideways trading problem. We're going to have a breakout. We're going to have a big top. And somebody's going to say, well, you know, does this mean this is a new T? No, it's the old T making its own top. It is probably an important top. Okay, so you have to take into the you have to go back and come through the thing logically to understand that just because what they think is that if it goes sideways, the T that I drew is nonsense, okay? And then when I see the breakout, they think there's a new T, but it's not nonsense. It's just that the motion in T's is complex depending on the situation. The fact that the market is going through this roller coaster ride is not only confusing, but it's also negative, because you're eating into the time that you would get up into the early May top. And so you know, that's negative. But that's taken care of in the 40-year cycle. Category that basically, what they say is that, well, Greece has got debt problems, and that's why they're worried. And then they say that, well, the consumer has problems. He does not know how, well, the consumer is deeply in debt, and but everything is okay on the growth. But the United States is deeply in debt too. Okay, so you know, this the whole thing goes around and around. There's problems and problems and problems, but. Advanced decline T's have dealt with problems before, And it's just that they go through this machination to trying to go through a trading range, which is very confusing. It's the most difficult environment to be in. And generally speaking, what you find out is that the leadership re-evolves is when you break out of the trading range and so forth. Whether that breakout in the trading range is coming here or there, how it affects gold and other things is it has to be resolved. But when you look at the big picture stuff, which we try to do with the T-theory observations, there doesn't seem to be any problem. The only thing is you don't go below. Once you start a low from a low, which was the early November low for that advanced decline T that projects its run up into early May. That's on the daily charts. It's not the advanced decline T that goes. The big advanced decline T goes to the end of August. But this T that starts out here cannot let the market go more than, say, a percent below its early November low. And what it did was it went back to the November 1 low of 2009, and it rebounded. And so it's doing everything is fine. It's going to come up to upside resistance as we go into the new month. And that upside resistance is going to cause it to, you know, there's going to be more sellers up there because the people that forgot to sell in the January high are going to try to sell. But most of this business is taken care of. The worries that people are pulling back up again here are now being offset by the fact that the GDP numbers are better than were expected. There are signs of recovery. The consumer still has problems, but the consumer is deeply in debt. But on balance, it should give you the breakout. It's not the best picture that you could go back in history and find a better picture to be in. But you're stuck with pretty much with what we got here, and it should turn out to be fine. So the answer to that question, as long as you don't go below the November 1 low, and as long as this rally here brings us up, you can have another small dip, but you don't really want to go back. You don't want to see it go back that far this time, because we've already visited that. Two bottoms is good enough, and then we should take up. Now that in Dow theory, which has been around for like 70 years. They use confirmation. What they do with the handle of the trading range is they handle it slightly different between the transportation average and the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And you need a confirmation in other words, the trend was bullish coming in for the 2009 period. We were in a bullish trend. The fact that you're going up and down in here is not a problem. But in order to get a bearish case, you'd have to have the transports and the Dow break down. In order to have a bullish confirmation, you have to have both of them break out above the high. We don't have to do that. We just take something like the S&P 500 or the New York Composite, and if it doesn't go below the low and it does break into the new high, that takes care of everything for us. Right now, the transportation average is quite close to breaking into a new high, and that's economically sensitive, so that's construed as being positive. And that's basically just saying that the GDP results were better than expected and so forth. So what's going to happen in Dow theory is they're going to say, well, it could go one way or the other, and we say it's bullish. What's going to happen when we get down to a breakout pattern is they're going to say it's a breakout and it's a confirmation to the upside. We're just going to say it's a phony baloney short covering rally or late stupid people coming into the market to make a top in the first week in March in May. Okay, so that's what the difference is. Okay, so we're supposed to know what we're doing here. But you have to draw the T's by a set of rules, and you have to remember that the old T has to be followed up with its own problems, and not to be confused with new T's. I'll say, let's move on to other things that we don't really want to talk about, which I have periodically have to mention, is that people say, well, when the advanced decline line, which is the basis for a lot of T theory, why don't you take out the income components? Because there are predominantly income entities in the advanced decline line for the New York Stock Exchange, and they say that in order to find out for traders purposes who are interested in price and don't care about this thing, why don't you get rid of those because they don't count? Well, it turns out the history of common stock investment is that the income component, if you look over 60 years, is equally important to the price appreciation component. So there's no reason to throw it out, and anybody that deals with the advanced decline line professionally over a long period of time knows that to be true. But there is a small group of people that think they should take it out. Okay, so they take it out and they say, well, you know, things don't look too good on the price appreciation. In the best bond strategy, what you do is we just threw out the price appreciation for stocks and said they're not worth anything, and we're only interested in the equity, in the income component, which means that we're more interested in bond-like entities, and sometimes stocks act, there are some high-yielding stocks that act somewhat like bonds. But there may even be some bonds in the New York Stock Exchange, which could cause that kind of a distortion. But the point of the matter is that you don't throw that stuff out, because it turns out, going for the next 10 years, the 40-year cycle is telling you that you only want income components that are of highest quality, and you don't want to throw that stuff out, you know, because that's your lifesaver. It's going to be a lifesaver. So we don't want to talk about that one, and I don't want to address any of that question. Turning points is another interesting thing. I think that's coin flipping myself. Sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. And so I don't want to, you know, I get the question, so I got other things to deal with. So, you know, I'm not going to talk about any of that stuff. It's better that I talk about T-theory, because I have 35 years of history on it, and I pretty well know what that is. And these other ones, they don't seem to fit in, so I probably wouldn't be qualified to comment on it, and you really shouldn't send me those. You should send those to somebody else that has an interest in that particular philosophy, but it's not T-theory. In fact, Paula is my business partner's sister. When she gets back from her vacation, is supposed to look into trademarking T-theory so that we don't get confused with somebody else's version of T-theory versus my version of T-theory, which is which I don't think is a very good policy. So we'll end on that. Let's end the segment A on that purpose, and then we'll get back. We'll talk about basically about the gold and other things that would be related to the patterns of the rest versus run concept that I talked about yesterday. Bye bye.